But I imagine you could bring them on Sunday before the Monday that is the 4th. Anyway, want you to know that. Are there any other announcements? Yes, ma'am. Right. Kids can come unregistered, but it'd be helpful to know how many for preparation purposes. And if you'd like to come help decorate, then be here next Saturday at 10 a.m. Will coffee be provided? There will be coffee. Any other announcements?
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God.
My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?
My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God?
Then I will go to the altar of God, to God.
Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God.
Let's pray. Open our hearts today. Help us, Lord. Feel your strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen, not only with our ears, but with our spirit of your words of compassion and healing. Help us to be faithful disciples to you. We ask this in your name. Amen. The Bible tells us that if we say we have no sin, we're actually just lying. Now, my mother told me never to say that word. She used to say misrepresenting the truth. But we're just flat out lying if we say we have no sin. We're deceiving ourselves, and in reality, the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins and our shortcomings and our faults, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive those sins and cleanse us of all that unrighteousness. Let's pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge and confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Deepen within us our sorrow for the wrong we have done, and the good we have left undone. Lord, you are full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. There is always forgiveness with you. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Bind up that which is broken. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to each of us, and let your word abide with us until it is wrought in us your holy will. Amen. By acknowledging our need for Christ in us, and by acknowledging that God is present in our life, God is swift to forgive. Let's accept that forgiveness. Please recite with me the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell, the third day rose again from the dead,
descended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen.
Thank you.
We invite children of all ages to come and join Mike.
Good morning. How are y'all today? This is a glorious day. This day is for men. It's Father's Day. You know what? We need to be celebrated at least one day a year, right? Mothers get the rest of the year. They get 364 days a year, but this is Dad's Day, right? Okay, it's a law. You know it's a law. You have to be nice to your dads. I read that somewhere. I can't remember where I read it, but I read it somewhere. Okay, I read it. Right there. I knew I read it somewhere. It was a law. It has it written. You have to be nice to your dads. No kidding. It is a great day. It is Father's Day. And we're here to bless and remember all of our fathers, present and past. We're reminded in Psalms 103:13, the same way a loving father feels towards his children, but that simple of your tender feeling towards us, your beloved child, who will live in awe of you. That means that the dad needs to be a role model. He's a role model to his daughters and sons, right? He needs to teach his daughters. And by following him and being a good dad, the girls will adore and love and have deep, healthy, and positive relationships. For the boys, we are loved and are taught to have love and potential strength that is controlled and caring. Like a shepherd, a father cares for his flock, feeding, protecting, leading, being available, and having a watchful eye. Is that a father? It sure is. Miss Denise has made a gift for all the fathers. So at this time, I'd like for all the fathers to stand up. And they will pass out this carnation. And on it reads, Happy Father's Day 2022. A father is neither an anchor to hold us back, nor a sail to take us there, but a guiding light whose love shows us the way. Okay, here we are. So all the fathers, if y'all stand up. And y'all go ahead and grab some and start passing them out.
Today's Old Testament scripture reading will be from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 15. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he may die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death by the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was looking for Faith of Our Fathers, but it's not in the red hymnal. That's kind of sad. Yeah, it is. The sermon title is Ordinary Time. And it's because in the liturgical year, we are in ordinary time. And I got to thinking, what is that about? So I did a little research. First, somebody of great intelligence, tell me what the word ordinary means. Ma'am?
Everyday common.
Everyday common. Anybody have another definition? Yes, sir.
Ordinary to me basically means like something that really isn't that special.
Right. Just every day. Whatever you do. You get up and eat breakfast. Ordinary. Okay? Anybody else have a different definition of ordinary? The liturgical calendar, so it is ordinary, but it's based on ordinal, time of the year. It's an old English word. There's that. In the liturgical calendar, we have ordinary time. And what other times do we have? Advent?
Pentecost?
Lent. And we have Trinity Sunday, which falls during ordinary time. But Lent, you're right. So we have these seasons. So ordinary time, I'm going to read to you, it celebrates all aspects of life of Christ, celebrating Christ in every way, his life, teaching, parables, and miracles. Celebrating the saving love of God expressed in our everyday lives. A lot of the calendar year is spent in ordinary time. Thankfully, it's time to celebrate. It's time to learn. It's time to do a deep dive. It's not unintentional that Bible school falls during ordinary time. It's a time to really think and study. So Ezekiel's ordinary time was not what we would consider ordinary. We find Ezekiel running for his life. Jezebel, y'all know about Jezebel. She is a wicked, evil, horrible person. And Jezebel said to, the message went to Elijah, "You killed all those prophets. I'm going to do that to you." Although it was much better said. But Elijah got the message. And he took a servant and he ran out of town. And he went a ways and then he stopped. And spent the night, and he left the servant there, and he kept on running. And he went out into the desert and sat under a broom tree. I'm always intrigued, as we read in the Bible, lots of folks run away and sit under trees. Fig trees, broom trees. So he goes out, and he sits under the broom tree, and he is very pitiful. If you have your Bible and can look at it, I'm going to find it, because I wrote it in big writing, because I've gotten to that age of big writing, because I can't see the little writing. Hold on a minute, and all my pieces of paper. He sits under the tree, and he says to God, "Just take me. Just kill me." This is not the Bible vernacular, as you understand. But he's just sitting under the tree, moaning and groaning. You know, I'm just go ahead and kill me. And then he goes to sleep. And then an angel comes and says, "You better eat and drink. Because when he wakes up under this broom tree in the desert, there is fresh water and fresh bread." Again, throughout the Bible, what does God do for us? Feeds us, gives us what we need. wakes up, eats, drinks, goes back to sleep. Again, he hears a voice, wakes up, new water and new bread. How many of y'all ever been to a desert? What's it like? Dry. And what else is it like? Hot. And do you typically find fresh bread and fresh water out in the desert? No, it's God's providence. While it's his ordinary time, God is providing, which is what God does for us. And now the angel says, you better eat and drink because you got a long trip ahead. That's left out, but we know that's what's said. And so he does eat and drink, and he goes on a 40-day and night trip with bread and water. Those folks were tough in those days because it would take more than bread and water for 40 days for me. But 40 days, and he goes and he goes and he goes, and he gets up in a cave because he's afraid. He's terrified. If Jezebel said to you, I'm after you, what would you have done? His everyday time was prophesying. What does prophesying mean? What does it mean to prophesy? To foretell? To speak of things. And he was prophesying, and what Jezebel was all mad at is he killed a whole bunch of Baal's prophets. And she said, I'm going to get you. And so he was doing his job. He was performing the role he had, and it was going to get him. It was his ordinary time. And he's there in the mountain, and he hears God. And God says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And he goes on to say, in very eloquent terms, they're after me. They're going to kill me. I was doing what you said. I was following what you told me to do. And now they're trying to kill me because I was doing what you told me to do. I was telling the Israelites, don't forsake your God. I was telling the Israelites, you need not to turn away from who your God's presence in your life. But they did, and so now they're after me. And God says, go stand out there on that mountain and listen. And so what happens? As is often in the Bible, there's a tornado and a hurricane in today's world. So he's standing out there and there's wind blowing and the rocks are tumbling and it's buffeting like last week when the wind was blowing so hard and the trees are moving, although there's not trees in the desert. There's trees moving and all of that going on and the rocks are going, but no God. And then there's an earthquake. How many of y'all ever been in an earthquake? What happens in an earthquake?
We were in the movie house and we had an earthquake. We were in California.
Oh, so what happens in an earthquake? Everything shakes. The china rattles. The things fall off the walls. Luckily, we're not in California and the earth doesn't open up. But there's all of those things that do go on. No God for Elijah. And then there's a fire, just this fire comes, and there's a fire raging. And then there's silence. And then Elijah hears God. Sometimes it's in those very quiet silence times that we need to be able to hear. We don't experience God in the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the storms and the torrents, sometimes, although we do. But he hears in the silence. And what does God say? What you doing here? And what does Elijah say? They're after me. So it's like a repeat. In fact, I wrote all this and I went back and thought, you've stuttered, Sheila, but I didn't. And so Elijah says to God, they're after me, they're after me, they're after me. The wonderfulness of this story is Elijah is in his ordinary time. He's doing what God has called him to do, because that's what ordinary time is. It's everyday time of what God has called us to do. He's in his everyday time, but God doesn't fuss at him for running away. And God doesn't fuss at him for still questioning, even though here's your fresh water and your fresh bread in the desert twice, and you have enough to take you 40 days and 40 nights. And Elijah keeps repeating, "They're after me, they're after me, they're after me." And God says, "Okay, well, why don't you go on back? Go back the way of Damascus. And when you get there, there's going to be some, I want you to do some things. When you get there, you're going to do some things. You're going to anoint a king. You're going to anoint two kings. You're going to appoint your successors." And Elijah got up and went. Ordinary everyday times. They're after us every day. I don't know who the they's are in your life, but they're after us every day. And there are days that we run away. Or I run away, y'all may not. But there are days I run away, or I pretend not to see what it is that God wants me to see, or various and other things. And when I have the sense that God's in my life, and God's like, "So what are you doing?" I'm like, "They're after me, they're after me, they're after me." And then I'm reminded that God's with me. I'll give you anything you need. I'll give you rest. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you peace. I'll give you sustenance. But get on up and go about your business and go about my business, which is what Elijah did. So if you will look in your pew Bible to Luke, it tells you in there what page it's on. Page 1024. Luke 8, 26 to 39. This is a whole series of teachings. They're found in Matthew and Mark and Luke of miracles. And remember, ordinary time is a time of a deep dive into Jesus' work, everyday life, which includes miracles. So we're in Luke 8, verse 26. And they're sailing, and they sail across from Galilee to Jezreel. And they're sailing, and Jesus gets out of the boat. And there on the shore are not a whole bunch of followers. In fact, none are mentioned. Are not religious leaders. None are mentioned. Let's read. They sail to the region which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the graveyards. He lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Because Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. And though he was chained, many of the spirits were in him. And they would get him and they would chain him up. And he'd break those chains and he'd run away. Jesus says, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go to the abyss, not to go away to the never place. There were a large herd of pigs feeding there on the hillside, and the demons begged to Jesus to let him go into them. So he said, "Okay." And the demons came out of the man, and they went into the pigs, and the whole herd of pigs rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. So Jesus got out of the boat, was met by a demon-possessed man, told the demons to go into the pigs drown, and it's the herders, the pig herders, who go tell the story. That's important. When they came to Jesus, they found the man with whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And there was great joy Then all the people of the region asked Jesus to leave because they were overcome with fear. So he got in the boat and left. The men from whom the demons had gone went out, begged to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I need you to go back home. I need you to go about your ordinary life, telling how much God did for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus was on a river, on a trip in the lake, gets over there. He's met by a man who is crazed. He doesn't have any clothes on. He has remnants of chains on him. He's all torn up because that's what chains will have done. And he's dirty, probably smells not so good. And he's living in the tombs. He's living in the graveyard. And the guy comes up to Jesus, and the demons in this man, whatever's haunting him, says, recognizes the power that's there and falls at the feet and says, help, 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 don't hurt us. Don't send us to the never, never. Just send us over to those pigs. If you study this passage a lot, there's lots of thoughts on what this means. There's lots of thoughts in, is this truly an allegory or did it happen? There's lots of thoughts on, were these demons? Was this man mentally ill? Whatever. But what we know about this man is he was tormented. He was so tormented he couldn't live in a house. He was so tormented he couldn't live around people that loved him. And God created us to be communal people. I mean, God made two because said can't live alone. We are communal people, and this man couldn't even be communal. He was out in the tombs. And every once in a while people would find him and bring him back and chain him up and put clothes on him and try to get him to live in his house, and it just wouldn't work, and he had the strength and would run away. The demons, the mental illness, whatever was chasing him. We all have those in our lives. It may not be demons, but something chases us. Something is driving us. Something, we are addicted to something. Work, TV, internet, food. Something is keeping us from being able to commune with those around us, which is what this man was. He was being chased. He couldn't commune with the people who loved him. He was being chased away. And in this story, and I have to say, and I've talked to some people this week about this, this story disturbs me, I'm sorry, for the pigs. It just disturbs me. And in reading, what I read was, this is not a highly, well, number one is, why do Jewish people have pigs? You know? But what I read was, this wasn't an extreme religious area, and so they would have pigs. And did Jesus have the power just to command those demons to go away into the abyss? Yeah. So why the pigs? Why did thousands of pigs have to run into the water and die? Y'all study on this week. Why the pigs? But what we know, what I came to rationalize and understand in my studying and reading and praying and trying to figure it out is, for some of it's demonstration of God's power. He did have that ability to just say, go away. And they could have gone into the abyss and never bothered anyone again. But instead, Jesus listened to them, didn't have to. They went into the pigs and away they went, and they were dead. And then, who was upset about that? Did they rejoice that this guy was healed? Who was upset? The pig herders were upset. They lost their livelihood. And so they went into town saying, you'll never believe what happened. This guy got out of a boat, you know, that crazy guy that lives in the graveyard. There he was. The guy says, go to the pigs. They go to the pigs. Our herd is demolished. We have no livelihood. And they came, and they didn't say, thank you for helping this friend of ours. Thank you for healing him. Thank you that he will now be sane, and we won't be afraid of him, and he won't run around naked, and he won't cause destruction, and he can come back and live with us. They said, we'd like you to leave, because they were afraid. Ordinary time. In our everyday life, we have fears. We have fears that chase us away from other people. We have fears that chase us away from our relationship with God. Sometimes it's, I can't hear anymore, God. I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. Sometimes it's, no, I just can't take it anymore. I'm just going to retreat. Sometimes it's the very people that we love talking smack to us, telling us how we ought to be, should be, could be, would be. And sometimes we just say, no, God, I just need you to go away. I just need you to leave. So now let's look in Galatians. It's in the middle between the first and second in the New Testament. That's always how I find it. I know this is one of my very favorite passages in the Bible. In Galatians 3:23-29. And it's on page 1153 in your pew Bible. It says that before Jesus, we had to live by the law. We lived by the law. We were prisoners by the law, locked up until faith could be revealed. So the law was not put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now faith has come, and we're not under the supervision of the law. Because of Christ, we don't have to live by that law. That Old Testament law that said how far you could walk on a Sunday and you couldn't cook and what you could do. Interesting rules if you'll read those. Then, we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Because all who were baptized in Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. There isn't Jew or Greek, or American, or African, or European. There's not slave, or free, or indentured. There's not male or female. We're just one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise of God. We're equal. At this reading, God kind of wiped the hierarchy, wiped the rules, wiped the regs, and said, we are all children of God. Whatever we look like, whatever color we are, whoever we are all equal. We are all children of God. This is our ordinary time now. Our ordinary time is welcoming the people around us, the rich and the poor, the friendly and the unfriendly. Ugh. The loved and the unloved. The sane and those who aren't as sane. The folks who are dealing with mental health on a very daily basis and struggling to live, and those who won't admit to their mental health challenges and struggling to live. We are all children of God. Whatever we look like, whoever we say we are God's children. We are clothed in Christ because we believe in Christ. If y'all do the daily readings, on Thursday, I was so excited. There was a wonderful reading. It talked about a gentleman who had had a stem cell transplant. A year later, they ran his DNA, and it wasn't his old DNA who showed up. It was the stem plant transplant's DNA that showed up. Now, it looked like the same person, and it walked and talked like the, except he was healthy now. But in his blood, inside, it was the donor. And it was a wonderful illustration of, because we have said we are children of God, because we have said Jesus Christ is in our life, we're all the same. We share that DNA. The DNA that I have running with me is the same DNA that you have running with you. We are Christ's children. We are one with each other. So today is Father's Day. It's a day to celebrate people who have fathered us along. And in our world, Some of those people who have fathered us along are male, and some of those people who have fathered us along are female. It is a day to remember good. It is not so much the day to remember the, it's the day to remember the good. Would somebody want to tell me one wonderful memory they remember of their father? Anybody got a wonderful memory? Yes, ma'am.
My father always makes me laugh. And when we went down to the beach, my mom had bought these wetsuits. And if you know my dad, he's kind of, he's got more front than the front part of him, you know. And he comes down and he's got this wetsuit on and it looks a little out of proportion, but he taps his belly and he goes, "Free Willie," and his name is William.
He was similar to Willie.
So he kind of looked like a whale.
Oh.
So he was like, "Free Willie," he starts patting his belly, and I think I peed my pants, but he always knew what to say and how to say it to make a room just fall apart.
Yeah. Laughter. Fathers who bring us laughter are truly cherished. Anybody else have a memory they want to share of their father, live or past? Anybody else? My dad was a great storyteller and would tell wonderful, marvelous stories of his growing up in very rural, very poor Alabama. Fathers who can tell us stories help us know who we are and help us have our heritage. Today is also another important day, and it's in keeping with the Galatians day. The Galatians passage, no Jew, no Greek, no male, no female, racial equality. Today is Juneteenth. And in a group of people here around the United States, it's a day that they celebrate the final understanding of the end of slavery. It is a day for them to embrace their heritage. It is a day for us to celebrate and recognize there were a lot of fathers who had a lot of sadness and still do. What's your ordinary days look like? Get up, have coffee, go about your everyday chores. Who's dictating your ordinary days? Is it Jezebel chasing you off into the desert? Is it the demon-possessed people who are coming to you with, "I need this right now, you're late, you should have been here now, I gotta clean my house, who's cutting the grass, go pick the blackberries"? Who's dictating your ordinary days? And what do your ordinary days mean in the life of those around you? Because the reason we have ordinary days is to celebrate Christ and his teachings and who he is in our life. So as you go about this next week in your ordinary days, remember, Christ is with you, providing the bread and the water, providing the path, providing the nurturing, and asking you to be about Christ's business. Do you have prayer concerns? We need to add Bobby Stillwell to our prayer list. She's in the hospital. Kelly told me that. Other prayer concerns? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If she heals from that, then we're going to get her eyesight fixed because she has a torn retina.
Oh.
So
keep Linda Henry in prayer.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on.
She does. Others?
Howard Brady has gotten surgery.
Howard Brady, the grandfather to Kiri and Chris, is having heart surgery on Wednesday. Other prayer requests? Anybody got a praise? Anything good happening in your life?
I'm still breathing.
Yay! Charles is still breathing. Oh, yeah! Everybody, give an applause. Connie Lucky retired this week. Congratulations, Connie Lucky. Yep, Hazel Dunn had her 102nd birthday this week. She will still welcome cards and expressions of love. Yes, sir. Yay! It is important to graduate. Graduate preschool, kindergarten, grade school, high school, and college. Congratulations. Let's pray. God, we are coming before you, living in ordinary time. It doesn't always seem ordinary. Read of people and hear of people going to church to have a potluck and ending up there's a shooting and they're dead. We hear of people who are losing their houses and their jobs. We hear of people so depressed and so taunted by the world around them that they choose to end their lives. But we know through all of this, you are continuing to walk with us, and we thank you for that. We do pray today, God, for all the people who are still dealing with the virus and its impact, and some who think they'll never be cured. We grieve with people who have lost the people they love this week. We pray for people who are hospitalized and are going to the hospital this week, such as Mr. Brady and Miss Stillwell and Miss Henry. We live in a world broken by sin, and we are sinners. And yet you say, I love you. Let's try this again. And we thank you for that. We pray for our prayer list. There are people on there who are dealing with every day just aging and disease. There are people who are struggling with mental health. There are people who are struggling with cancer. There are people who are striving to live the life they can. Thank you that we are able to pray for those individuals. Thank you that we can come to you with prayer. Thank you for providing bread and water for us. Thank you for providing healing for us. And thank you for the reminder that in this room we share the DNA of each other because we are followers of Christ. We pray this knowing that you are hearing and walking with us. And we also pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I love that Jason always says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves uncheerful givers too, though. This is the time we'll return to God.
Thank you.
thank you for the ability to share with the world your love. Thank you for the ability to return back to your work some of the monies that you have given to us. And thank you for the gifts that we share in our everyday world. Amen. So today, hug a father, express appreciation for people who heal you, and embrace the miracles you're going to help happen this week in Jesus' name. Amen.